All right, Hebrews chapter 13. Let's read verses 18 and 19. Here, this is the end of the book, and a lot of people have different opinions about this, and it don't really matter. I believe Paul wrote Hebrews. It just sounds like him to me, and it doesn't matter. It's the Word of God. But he said this, whoever wrote it said, pray for us. Pray for us. For we trust we have a good conscience, and all things willing to live honestly. Boy, I tell you, that's what we need more of. More folks be just like that. Everything go a lot better, I think. I think we'd have a lot more success. But I beseech you the rather to do this, that I may be restored to you the sooner. I beseech you rather to do this. Do what? Pray for us. Asking people to pray for him. Because it does matter. And it does mean something. And it does make a difference. When people pray for you. We ought to pray one for another. Oh, the Bible's so full of admonitions and instructions about this matter of praying one for another. I tell you, we got too much of ourself in our prayers. I wonder if we analyzed our prayer life, all of it, wonder how selfish is it? How much of it is about me and mine and my problems and help me and me and oh Lord, oh my, what am I going? And how much of it is praying for other people? It's intercessory prayers when you're praying for other people. Pray for us. All right, now when we pray for someone, we're praying for something that'll help them. Now, isn't that why we pray for people? They need help. Oh, 1,000 different ways. People can be sick. We pray for a lot of sick people. It kind of bothers me. It's always been a thing with me. I wonder why that we don't have nothing to pray about except somebody's got cancer, somebody's got a broken foot, or somebody's got something wrong with them. You know, I know we're supposed to pray for the sick, but that ain't all we're supposed to pray for. And I just wonder how come we just got a burden for somebody if they're sick. And then only if they're maybe going to die. That's when we really get concerned about it. Then if you ask for prayer requests, that's all you get. No matter where you're at, not just here, that's the way it is with everybody. Everybody thinks prayer is just about praying for sick people. Well, I know we're supposed to, if any be sick among you, let him pray. You know, let him call for the elders and they'll pray for him. And all, yeah, I know. We're supposed to pray for the sick. But like I said, there's so many other things that we need to pray for. We're praying for some need they have, some physical need or spiritual need. If we're praying for somebody, that we ought to be praying for them about that. I mean, if we pray for people, we ought to pray for other things besides just physical sickness. People have greater needs than that. Now, I know. You say, well, you ain't get sick, you won't. I'll get sick one of these days. I know. And I've been sick and prayed. Yeah. And I appreciate people praying when I'm sick. Yeah. But what about all the other burdens of life? What about all the other obstacles of life? What about all the other needs and things and problems that we run into that are soul-threatening? What about praying about them? Why don't we pray for these kids and all of the obstacles and pitfalls there are in life in front of them? Instead of getting so, the only time we worry about praying for them is if they got a cold or something or got some physical malady. We pray for people to be delivered from sickness. We pray for people financial needs, poverty. You know, we don't pray for people if they got too much money, do we? But I'll tell you what, They're in far greater need of prayer than the people that don't have any. Their soul is much more in danger when they got too much than when they ain't got enough. And that's a fact. But we don't pray about that, do we? No, no. We pray for affliction, things like that that people are going through. And all of that is right. We should pray. Victory over some enemy of their soul or earthly enemy. These are things that we pray for other people. Now, when whoever wrote this, Paul, if he wrote this, whoever it was said, pray for us. Pray for us. Well, what did he mean by that? What did he want them to pray? What did he want them to pray about when they prayed for him? Well, he said, you know, the work, what the ministry, and the obstacles, and the afflictions, and the adversity, and the enemies, and all of the things that were working against him. That's what he wanted them to pray for. Pray for me, that I'll be able to stand. Pray for strength. Pray for wisdom. Pray for protection. There's so many things to pray for other people about. If we could even get our mind around this the least little bit, we'd do a whole lot more praying than what we do. And what praying we would do would be much more intercessory prayer than it would be about our depression and our pity parties and all of this that we have for ourselves. Amen. God, you know, when we're praying, we are praying for their protection from the wiles of the devil and the influences of the world. God's pleased when we pray for other people. Now, I believe that's a fact. I believe God's a lot more apt to hear our prayer when we're praying for somebody else than when we're praying for ourselves. It shows that our heart is really concerned about other people when we pray for other people. That's evidence that we're fulfilling the law of God. Bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. If we really pray for other people and we put something into it, some thought and understanding, you know, a view that's more than just the surface. Look at their life. Look at what they're facing. Look at what age they're at. And look at what is going on around them. Well, you don't have to be Mr. Einstein to figure out what to pray for. Amen. And if you pray for other people like that, it shows and it's evidence that you care. That you really do care. I mean, you ain't going to do that unless you care. Now, you'll do that if it's somebody that's real close to you, that you love, that means something to you. Somebody you don't want to lose, but you'll get serious about praying. Not only if they're sick and their life's being threatened by some disease, but if other things in life are threatening their well-being, the well-being of their soul. Well, God will listen. We won't pray for other people unless we're really concerned for them. And we won't consistently pray for others unless we truly do love them. You just ain't going to pray for somebody unless you really love them. God paid a very high price to obtain for us the privilege of prayer. When that veil of the temple was rent from top to bottom, it cost something. For a way to be made into the holiest of all, for us, there had to be some great price paid. Yes, sir. Christ did that. He opened that. That's part of the atonement for our sins. That's why it's such a big deal. It ain't just no payment plan like a credit card. I mean, this is a big deal. They couldn't do that in the past. But we can. We can now come boldly before the throne of grace. To obtain help in time of need. We won't consistently pray for others unless we really do love them. Now, somebody said this. Oswald Chambers said this. He said, beware of placing the emphasis on what prayer costs us. It costs God everything to make it possible for us to pray. And then we act like it's some kind of a self-affliction or great sacrifice that we do to pray. You know, what are we? Are we like the Catholics who crawl on their hands and knees? What is it, December the 12th, the day when they make all their pilgrimage to the Virgin of Guadalupe down there? And they crawl on their hands and knees and bloody themselves and afflict themselves. And in the Philippines, they crucify themselves on Easter time, you know. Put themselves through great pain to show God how serious they are. So is that what prayer is? Something like that? Where we just afflict ourselves and, boy, we give up our TV for a while so we can pray. No, we shouldn't put our emphasis on what it costs us. What in the world costs us? What does it cost you? Time that you could have been entertaining yourself? Looking at Facebook and other stuff? Playing games? Man. Others are encouraged to know that we're praying for them. It is a great encouragement to know people are praying for you. Now, it really is. I mean, it is. Lots of stories I've heard, and I know myself. I know myself. There's just a couple of people that through the years, every time I'd run across them, they'd say, I pray for you every day. That's a great encouragement to me. To think, to know that somebody remembers me every day and prays for me. He said, pray for us, for we trust we have a good conscience in all things, willing to live honestly. I've got a point I want to make about that a little bit later here, but nothing is such a blessing as knowing that someone is regularly, consistently, and fervently praying for us. It just strengthens you to know that. Now, I don't know how to tell you any other way. I mean, if you have experienced this, then you know. But otherwise, you just got to listen to what I say and believe it. That's all. It is the truth. Asking God to help us in our present struggle. If I know that somebody's praying for me when I got some kind of problem that I can't deal with, ain't got no options, ain't got no strength, ain't got no alternative, ain't got no way. I'm up against it and somebody else is praying for me and I know it. That's encouraging. Asking God to protect us in our endeavors and travels and all of that. When you take off on these trips and stuff and you know that the folks at home are praying for you, it makes you feel a whole lot better about it. Asking God for you. Now this knowledge that somebody's praying for us, really praying for us, gives us courage to go on when otherwise we would halt. Knowing someone is praying for you to make it is sometimes just what you need to deliver you from temptation. Think about it. How many people have you heard testify, and how many stories have you read about mother's prayers, father's prayers? Yep, I've heard people say, you know, they couldn't, far out in sin as they went, they could never get away from their father's prayers. They remembered him praying for them, saw his tears, heard him, remembered him calling their name. And they knew that he really prayed for them. Well, that'll help you over the hump so many times. Knowing someone is praying for you to make it is sometimes just what you need. Knowing someone is praying for us is just enough sometimes to pick us up out of the lowest valley. Even, I mean, just to know there's someone who cares. Because you know they ain't going to pray for you unless they really care about you. They just ain't going to pray for you. They ain't going to think of you. Not going to remember you if they don't care for you. So if they're praying for you, they remembered you. They care for you. And they care about what happens to you. They care if you make it or not. Somebody said this, every chain that spirits wear crumbles in the breath of prayer. He prayeth best who loveth best, all things both, great and small. He prayeth best who loveth best. Boy, that's true. The disciples asked Jesus, Lord, teach us to pray. So he said, when you pray, and everybody calls this the Lord's Prayer, but it's not really the Lord's Prayer. He's just showing you how to pray. He's giving you an outline about praying. You know, our Father, which art in heaven. But I can't say our if religion has no room for others and their needs. If my religion has no room for others and their needs, I can't say our Father. See, you understand the point. If you look at this thing and you look at life, and you have a mindset of our instead of my, then you will care and you'll pray for your brothers and sisters, your family, other people, that the Lord's people. You'll pray for them. Our Father. You can't say Father if you don't demonstrate that relationship in your daily living. Our Father, well, if you don't act like God's your Father, like God is our Father, then you can't say it. You can't even get started in praying the way Jesus said to pray. You can't say, who art in heaven, if all your interests and pursuits are on earthly things. I can't say, hallowed be thy name, if I, who am called by his name, am not holy. Leviticus. You know, if we next time we're preach on Leviticus, that's where we're at. Be ye holy. That's what that law is all about. Chapter 19, that law that he's given so we be holy. Hallowed be thy name. How can I even think or say such a thing if I'm not holy? I can't say thy kingdom come if I'm unwilling to give up my own sovereignty and accept the righteous reign of God. I can't say thy will be done if I'm unwilling or resentful of having it in my life. God's will. I can't say in earth as it is in heaven unless I'm truly ready to give myself to his service here and now. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Unless you're surrendered to do his will, how can you pray that? Thy will be done, but let somebody else do it. Do it through somebody else. I can't say, give us this day our daily bread without expending honest effort for it or by ignoring the genuine needs of my fellow man. You can't say, give us this day our daily bread when you're not willing to help others. I mean, if you got bread and somebody don't and you could take care of that, how can you say, give us this day our daily bread? It's like saying, be ye warmed and filled, and taking your stuff and going on, and leaving them destitute. Pray for God to help them, but you won't help them? Nah. You see, in order to pray, you got to be right with God. I can't say forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us if I continue to harbor a grudge against somebody. I can't say, lead us not into temptation if I'm deliberately choosing to remain in a situation where I'm likely to be tempted. Lord, lead us not into temptation while you're headed that way. Do you ever think a little bit? I know I've preached on this several times, but this prayer, the way Jesus told us to pray, have you ever thought about how rich and deep and I mean, it is he. It's just one more proof that he was God. Man couldn't have come up with this. No matter how smart, wise he was, he couldn't have put all this together because he nailed it down from every angle, every way. And it's just like I'm pointing out here real quick, you can't even pray. He said, the disciples said, teach us how to pray. So Jesus said, this is the way you do it. If you're going to pray, and then he, all of these little things, and it just has to be or it won't work. Deliver us from evil. I can't say that if I'm not prepared to fight in the spiritual realm with the weapon of prayer and the full armor of God. If I'm not, deliver us from evil. If I'm not willing to do my part, to fight the good fight of faith, how hypocritical, how foolish is it for me to ask God to deliver us from evil when I won't even step up and fight the fight? I can't say thine is the kingdom if I do not give the king the disciplined obedience of a loyal subject. Thine is the power. From an unsurrendered heart? No, that don't work. See what I mean? Thine is the glory. Can't say that if I'm seeking my own glory first. I can't say forever if I'm too anxious about each day's affairs. You know, I can't say amen unless I honestly say, cost what it may, this is my prayer. Can't even say amen to your own prayer. All right. Somebody said, if your knees are shaking, kneel on them. Is prayer your shearing wheel? Is prayer your steering wheel or your spare tire? It's not that prayer changes God or awakens in him purposes of love and compassion that he has not already felt. It changes us. And therein lies its glory and its purpose. Prayer changes us. And it changes us before we even start praying. Because you have to be in the right attitude of heart, and your life has to be in the right condition before you can even pray. So before you even pray, prayer changes you. You understand what I'm saying? You can't pray unless you're right. You can't pray unless you care about people and care about the kingdom of God and care about the work of God here on earth. I've read this before. Lincoln said this. He said, I've been driven many times to my knees by the overwhelming conviction that I had nowhere else to go. My own wisdom and that of all about me seemed insufficient for the day. Another guy said this. He said, if I could hear Christ praying for me in the next room, I would not fear a million enemies. But distance makes no difference. He is praying for me. Remember when he said to Peter, I've prayed for you. Peter, Satan had desired to have you to sift you as wheat. But I've prayed for you. That when thou art converted. We were talking the other day up there about Jesus and those disciples and how he had all that to say to them, and they were so unprepared, unready. Their minds and hearts were just not even anywhere near where they needed to be. Jesus left everything in their care, knowing what was gonna happen to them. To open their eyes. How did that happen, by the way? Oh, the Holy Ghost came. The promise of the Father. It came, just like Jesus said it would. The Holy Ghost came, and that's what changed all of those men. with the knowledge and the preparation that they had had from the Lord Himself when the Spirit of God came. They were different men. All that Jesus had said came together. I mean, it all just gelled. And they understood. They'd heard it all from the Master Himself, from the Son of God Himself. But when the Spirit of God came, then they understood. What do you reckon's wrong with the churches now? What do you reckon's wrong with everybody? You know, there's a lot of foolishness in teaching and preaching going on, but there is good preaching. You know, I mean, if Jesus, the Son of God, could preach for 3 years to these people and they didn't, and they were still like that, what hope do we have? But the Spirit of God's what made all of the difference. You can have the best teaching, you can have the best preaching, you can have the most knowledge, and it'll all be of nothing, no avail. But what's the key thing now? 1 Corinthians chapter 13. What's the key thing? You can give your body to be burned. You can do all of this. You can have all knowledge and all understanding and all. But it's all not going to avail you anything without what?
Charity.
And that is love. And what do we say here? He that loveth best, prayeth best. He prayeth best who loveth best. You're not going to pray unless you love. It's not going to do it. And what prayers you pray ain't going to be worth nothing without love. That's just so real and true and easy to understand. If you just look at your own life and your own self, if it were one of your children, you'd pray like you never prayed before. I mean, you get serious about it because you love them. But that's the way we're supposed to be all the time. Our prayer, what is a fervent prayer? Does that mean pray hard like these people talk about? What are they talking about? Pray real hard. How do you pray hard? The fervent prayer of a what? Of a righteous man availeth much. There ain't nothing going to make a fervent prayer unless love makes it fervent. That's the only way. There ain't nothing else going to make it. Desire ain't going to make it fervent. You don't think desire, just because you want something real bad, you know, that'll make your prayer a fervent prayer that'll avail much. No, it's got to be a righteous man and it's got to be a fervent prayer. That means it's a man or a woman, a person who's living right. And their heart is right before God. And their prayer is coming from a heart of love. And it'll avail much. It'll avail much. Jesus Christ carries on intercession for us in heaven. The Holy Ghost carries on intercession in us on earth. And we the saints have to carry on intercession for all men. You know, and what he's talking about there is that, you know, we know not what we ought to pray for. But what does the verse say? But groanings that cannot be uttered. But the Holy Ghost shows us, the Spirit of God teaches us, shows us what to pray. So it's the Spirit of God, it's love, and it's righteousness. And prayer ain't going to work without that. It ain't going to amount to nothing. With it, it'll avail much. Got to care. And if we care, we'll pray. If we don't care, we won't pray. And if we don't pray, it's because we don't care. That's just the way it is. And everybody says, we're praying for you. And I see it all the time. Everybody prays, you know, drunkards, whoremongers, fornicators, drinkers, everybody in the world prays. You know? I'll pray. How much does it mean, really? How much does it mean? Well, they ain't praying. Get that. They ain't praying. They never said no prayer, and if they did, it wasn't a fervent prayer, and it didn't come from a righteous person, and there wasn't no love involved, so it might as well have been a pygmy praying to a stump. Christians say, you know, we're praying for you. Are you? Are you really? Most of the time, they ain't. It's just something we say. We'll pray for you. We've been praying for you. But have we been praying for them? Fervently? Ain't too much fervent prayer going on. That's why the world's going to hell in a handbasket. That's why all the churches are dead as a doorknob and on their way down the tubes. Nobody really cares about anything except their own life and their own interests and their own vain things. Nobody really cares about the things that really matter. All we was talking a while ago about before we prayed about our country and all that's going on. And the fact of the matter is, there are just not very many people that really do care. Somehow I think it'll all work out. It'll be all right. Now, what have I got to do tomorrow? What have I got to do when church is over here? You know, we just ain't concerned. We lose sight. We've been reading a book, another one of them books about poor people back in World War II in Europe and stuff, and how cruel and awful it was for people. When everything did, wash out. There wasn't no law anymore. There wasn't no protection. There wasn't any rights. Nobody had no rights. They were just treated like worse than animals. Starved and beat and just unspeakable, terrible things. You know what people learn how to do in circumstances like that? Pray. Yep. Sure be to our benefit if we'd learn to pray while we still are not in a place like that. These are basic things tonight about prayer. Just need to get them. You know, we could have took the verse, the prayer of a righteous man availeth much, and that would have done it right there. We could have preached the same message with that. What's the use in asking people to pray for you unless you know they're the kind of people that'll pray? Everybody wants somebody to pray for them. Deerwood said that when Monday, when he went in the hospital that morning, his doctor came by and wanted to pray with him. Well, that's good. That'd be an encouragement to me. That would make me have hope that the doctor really cared. And he wasn't just looking at me like another hunk of meat laying there that I got to cut a piece off of. Yes, sir. Pray. Pray for us. Pray for us. It's important. It makes a difference. You need to pray for one another. And bear you one another's burdens. Amen. All right, I'll quit. I told you it's going to be short. Here we are. We're done. Stand with me. Father, thank you for the privilege of prayer. Forgive us for neglecting it so. Forgive us for not understanding and for not doing it like you told us to. For not really studying it out. And Lord, I pray you'd help us to do better at this. Help us to really pray for one another. Pray for the sick. Pray for the ones in need, and so many. the problems and the burdens that people are facing. We think about Lori and Aaron in there and what they're going through. And it is just a few days and everybody goes back to their normal lives and forgets. And Lord, we shouldn't do that. We ought to remember. Pray for all the ones going through these things. I know Miss Owen's got cancer, but it's just much more than that. There's so much more at stake and so much more affected by that fact. And Lord, there's so much more to pray for. Please help us, Lord, to remember one another. Remember our leaders of our country. And Lord, our brothers and sisters in Christ and our family. Help us, Lord, to be faithful to pray for them and to remember them and to care. Now let our love wax cold in this day when iniquity does abound. Please bless the word of God to our heart now in Jesus' name. Amen.